Welcome to this edition of Spotlight on the Word, an introduction to the books of the Bible and to the great God that gave us His Word. We'll be paying special attention in this study to what the Bible tells us about God and especially about Jesus, His dear Son. The Bible is a book by God and about God and the relationship He wants to have with you. That makes it the world's most important and the world's most precious book. In our study today, we'll examine the book of Hebrews, an eloquent and powerful 13-chapter book. The book of Hebrews. In looking at the book of Hebrews, it has been said that the book of Hebrews begins like an oration or speech, and you'll see that quickly in Hebrews chapter 1, but it proceeds like a sermon. In Hebrews chapter 11, it sounds almost sermonic when the writer says, "Time would fail me to tell." That certainly sounds like a preacher statement. And when you get to the end of the book of Hebrews, it sounds like a letter. It begins like an oration or speech. It proceeds like a sermon. It ends like a letter. What a magnificent, what a masterful piece of literature the book of Hebrews is. The key word for the book of Hebrews is better or superior. It occurs some 13 times in this 13-chapter book. Jesus and His way is better. Jesus and His way is superior. Keep that in mind when you study the book of Hebrews. And the setting for the book is important. Evidently, the book of Hebrews was written shortly before the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple in 70 AD. That would be a real sign that the old way was done away. And you look at the particular book of Hebrews and it emphasizes that what we have in Jesus is so much better, so much superior, one should not go back to any other way, to any other system. There were some Christians from a Jewish background at this time who were tempted to go back and to worship under Judaism because it was tolerated as a religion by Rome, whereas Christians would be persecuted by the state. The writer of Hebrews says, "Don't do that. You can't do that. You cannot leave what is superior and better for what has been abrogated, for what has been done away with." Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10, "He," that is Jesus, "takes away the first, that He might establish the second." Let me share with you a brief outline of how the book of Hebrews unfolds. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, through Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we have Jesus and the better person. One might even extend this all through chapter 4. So Hebrews 1 through 4, Jesus, the superior person. But then we get to Hebrews chapter 5. And from Hebrews chapter 5 through chapter 10, a superior work. Christ's superior person, 1 through 4, Christ's superior work, 5 through about chapter 10. And then one gets to Hebrews chapters 11, 12, and 13, and it's Christianity, a better walk, the walk of faith. What is interesting is this. The book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews all quote an obscure Old Testament book, and they each give this quotation, "The just shall live by faith." Think about that. Because you see, the book of Romans emphasizes the just and how men are made right before God. The book of Galatians emphasizes living, The just shall live. There's freedom. There's liberty in Christ. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5 and verse 1. And then one comes to Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. The last part of that Old Testament expression. Yes, this is a book that stresses faith and trust in Jesus, the superior person, and His superior work. Let's look now at each of the 13 chapters and some of the great truth contained therein. In Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is God's final word. God has spoken through His Son. That statement bears the air of finality. You see, God has nothing more, nothing else, nothing better, certainly, to say than He has said in His Son, Jesus. Recall, throughout the New Testament, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him." The importance of hearing Jesus and His message. When one looks at Hebrews chapter 1, I hope that you'll remember these three expressions: Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Notice Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and what's said about Jesus. God has spoken through Him the best message He could ever speak. It is superior. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. But notice this. The Bible would go on to say seven things about Jesus. He is the heir of all things, the one by whom He also made the world. He is the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of God's person. He is the one who upholds all things by the word of His power. He is the one who has purged us from our sins, and He is seated at the right hand of God. Now notice Hebrews 1 verse 4, being so much better, so much superior than angels. Oh, what a great section regarding Jesus and His revelation, His message. Vastly better, vastly superior, and so much better than angels He is. When we look at Hebrews chapter 1, it reminds me of what some Bible students came up with in discussing that Jesus is fully God, that He is deity. They took their hand and said, use this as an acrostic, an acronym, H-A-N-D-S. Jesus is due divine honor, John 5, 23 and 24, that they may honor the Son just as they do the Father. Jesus is due worship. He was given worship while on earth, Matthew 28 and verse 9 and following. When you think about it also, He is to receive worship in heaven. We give Him praise. We declare His worth. We worship Him now. We sing His praise. Also, you think of the letter A in hands. A stands for attributes. Whatever makes God, God, Jesus has it, and He has it fully. He has it completely. He knows what's in man, John 2, 24 and 25. He knows all things, Acts 1, 24, 1 John 3 and verse 20. He has the attributes of God. He is the judge, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, the righteous judge. When you think about this, not only does He have divine honor and divine attributes, He has divine names given Him. Most obviously, Jesus is God, John 1, 1 through 4. The Word was with God, the Word was God. He is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Think about that. H for honors, A for attributes, N for names, D for deeds. And the word hands, D would stand for deeds. What Jesus did proves that He's God. He forgave sins. He performed miracles. He taught in a way that people would say, never a man so spake. When we think about His deeds, they prove that He is God. And then S in hands, His seat. Where is He according to Hebrews 1:1-3? Seated at the right hand of God. His royal place, His rightful place, His redemptive place at the right hand of God. Yes, Jesus is completely, fully, perfectly God. Now let's also consider Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, notice this. We have in Hebrews chapter 2 the beginning of some warning passages, and these are striking, these are most significant, because Hebrews, you see, is a word of encouragement. Hebrews 13:22, it is a word of encouragement to keep Jewish Christians from going back to Judaism. Hold on to what's better. Hold on to what's superior. If you go back to Judaism, you'll be going back to something that has been done away with. Well, we look at Hebrews chapter 2 and the first of five great warning passages can be found. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1-4, there is the danger of drifting from God's Word. We need to give the more diligent hearing to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away from them. To drift away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2, verses 3-4. The one thing that could possibly be worse than rejecting salvation altogether would be to receive salvation only to neglect it. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't do this. The danger of drifting may begin so slowly and subtly, but it is insidious and it puts one soul in great peril. As we continue looking at Hebrews 2, there is a great message, the Word of Christ, the message of Christ. In Hebrews 2, verses 5-9, there is a great Savior, Jesus. He, by the grace of God, tasted of death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10-13, Jesus is a great brother. He is not ashamed to call us His brethren. And then in the closing verses of Hebrews 2, there is mention of a subject that will be dealt with most thoroughly in this eloquent book. He is a great high priest. He had to be made like His brethren in every respect. Hebrews chapter 2, the closing verses, would indicate so that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now we go to Hebrews chapter 3. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, even Jesus. Hebrews 3:1. The Bible would indicate that He that has built all things is God. Everything has a maker, but He that has built all things is God. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4-6. Then we come to the second great warning passage in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7-19. The danger of disbelief. The danger of disbelief and doubt. Drifting will lead one to doubting and to disbelief. Oh, beware, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. We see as we look at Old Testament Israel that many of them perished in the wilderness. They were not able to enter the promised land because of unbelief. Hebrews 3 and verse 19. Now we go on to Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is to be mixed with faith, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1-3. There remains for the people of God a perfect rest, a Sabbath rest, Hebrews 4, 7-11. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So says Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is not a dull knife. It is incisive. It is cutting. It makes a powerful point, and it touches our hearts and minds so that we can be the kind of people who realize what is found in Jesus is better and superior to that which can be found in any other religious system, in any other way. In Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, we have a great high priest. We can come boldly to the throne of His grace. Oh, what an emphasis there is in the book of Hebrews upon the grace of God. When we pray, we go before the throne of His grace, His unmerited favor, because there is mercy to be found there, and grace in time of need. In Hebrews chapter 5, the qualifications of Jesus, the great high priest, are mentioned in the early verses. And when we look toward the end of Hebrews chapter 5, the third great warning passage is given. If the first one was the danger of drifting from God and His Word, Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, and the second warning passage is the danger of doubting and disbelieving God and His Word, Hebrews 3, 7 through 19, the third warning passage in this book of encouragement, and it's significant that these are found. And by the way, in a world where so many people believe in once saved, always saved, one wonders how they could ever support such a view from the book of Hebrews. It simply cannot be found in this book, nor is it truly found in any other book of the New Testament. Oh, friend, it is possible for a Christian to so sin as to be lost, but one need not live in perpetual fear that when one does wrong, one will automatically be without hope and lost, because Hebrews tells us about our high priest. Hebrews tells us about who's better and what's better that He's done for us. When we look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 beginning and going into chapter 6, the danger of dullness toward God and His Word. That is important to think about. To many people in our day and time, what God may say about a particular matter simply doesn't matter. So what? People have become dull of hearing God's Word. And those to whom the writer was writing in Hebrews needed to think about the fact that by reason of time, they should have been teachers, but they had need that someone go back and teach them the beginning of the oracles of God. How have we grown spiritually? Some of us are perpetually in the elementary school of Christianity. And that was dangerous then, and it's equally dangerous now. When we look at Hebrews chapter 6, it's important to see how that it would be impossible to be saved by reverting to a system that had been abrogated, that had been done away. It's impossible to renew people to repentance, not because God is not capable of saving someone who repents, but it's impossible to be saved in a system that no longer is acknowledged by God as being in effect. And that's the idea that's being expressed in Hebrews chapter 6. And notice, toward the end of the chapter, especially verses 17 through 20, hope is spoken of. Hope is spoken of as the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hold on to Jesus because He's the better person. Hold on to Jesus because His way is the better and superior way, this better, superior work. Hold on to Jesus because Christianity is the better, superior walk, the walk of faith in the best way God has ever spoken. We are saved by hope, Romans 8, 24. Now abides hope, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. God has given us everlasting comfort and good hope through grace, 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Yes, we have a hope both sure and steadfast in Jesus the Christ. Then we come to chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It is interesting that the writer of the book of Hebrews would base such an important concept, the high priesthood of Jesus, upon a rather obscure Old Testament character, Melchizedek. We read about him in only two passages in the Old Testament. But like Melchizedek, the high priesthood of Jesus will never end. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the death of Melchizedek was never recorded. Think about this. Being a changing of the law, there also had to be a changing of the priesthood. Hebrews 7, 12 through 14. Because Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, not the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. So Jesus was not a high priest on earth, so to speak, but He is a high priest in a better realm, heaven, an eternal realm. As we continue looking at Hebrews chapter 7, such a high priest becomes us because he is able to relate to us. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Hebrews 7, 25 through 27. Then we come to Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, see to it that you make all things according to the pattern. That is what Moses was instructed to do. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. See that you make all things according to the pattern. And a principle is set forth there that would indicate that God's word needs to be heard, it needs to be respected, it needs to be loved, it needs to be complied with. And what we have in the word of Christ should most assuredly be heard, respected, loved, and obeyed, because God sent His Son Jesus to become the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. As we keep looking in Hebrews chapter 8, however, look at verses 6 through 13. It is a quotation from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. A new covenant is prophesied in Jeremiah from the Old Testament, a new covenant that would be written in the hearts and in the minds of the recipients thereof. In Jesus, we have that new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and following. As we look here at this section, notice how Hebrews 8 and verse 13 ends. That which is old and is decaying is ready to pass away. The old system would be completely gone when Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed in AD 70. Why go back to something that's only going to be here for just a few years? That's basically what the writer of Hebrews is saying. I know it's been around for a long time, but it only has a short while left to exist. It's already been done away by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 2, 14 through 17, He makes peace and brings Jew and Gentile together in one body, the church, that He shed His blood for, Acts 20 and verse 28. Now we come to Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, we deal with the nature of Christ's sacrifice. It purchases an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9 and verse 15. As you keep looking at Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed to a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. But verse 28, Jesus will appear the second time apart from sin unto salvation. When Jesus comes back, He will deliver the kingdom to His Father. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, but death will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, yet again. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the law was a shadow of better things to come. The law was a shadow of better things to come. Verse 4, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should be able to deal with sin. But without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission. Hebrews 9:22, the superiority of Christ and His sacrifice. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, we come to the fourth of the five great warning passages in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to the end of the chapter, Hebrews 10:26 to the end of the chapter, the danger of despising God and His Word. Despising God and His Word, looking down on His Word, not giving it the regard, the respect that it deserves, and at the very worst, hating God and what He says. We go from the danger of drifting to the danger of doubt and disbelief to the danger of dullness to what God says and who He is to the danger of despising God and who He is. These are dangers to be avoided at all cost. Hold on to the better person, Jesus, and the superior work, His work. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10 and verse 31. Now we go to the last section of the book, 11, 12, and 13. The better, the superior walk, the walk of faith. In chapter 11, we have example after example of faith. Faith obeying the message of God. Faith acting upon the will of God. That is so important to see, because today we must speak as the Bible speaks and act as God's Word would have us to act. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. One comes next to chapter 12, and there is endurance in faith. Endurance in the walk of faith, to run with patience the race set before us, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And then in chapter 13, there is expressing our faith. Expressing our faith by loving, expressing our faith by taking care of people who are in prison and in need, expressing our faith in God by our marriages, expressing our faith in God by our contentment, our knowledge that Jesus is with us yesterday, today, forever, Jesus Christ the same. His immutability, His unchanging nature, Jesus and His sacrifice. We will not go into strange teaching, diverse things that vary, that are very different from the Word of God. As we think about it, we will praise Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to Him. He who would come to God must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 deals with the final warning. And it's Hebrews 12, verses 24 to the end of the chapter. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. Our God has given us a kingdom which cannot be shaken, Hebrews 12:28. See to it that you refuse not Him who speaks. There is the danger of defying God and His Word. Despising His Word? Yes. Dullness toward His Word? Yes. There's this idea of doubting and disbelieving His Word, and there's the idea of drifting therefrom. How important it is for us to look to Jesus. He is called the Great Shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13. He's the Good Shepherd in John 10. He's the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5. And at the conclusion of this book, He is the great shepherd of our souls.